The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host, guest, random reptoid, or chupacabra may not necessarily reflect those of AM 950 Radio, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Now, it's time to step into the unknown. There are things people experience but never talk about. A shadow moving in the corner, flickering of the lights, a disembodied voice. We invite you to talk with us, share your story, share your experience, because this isn't just your story, this is our story. This is Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken.
And this is Ghost Box Radio on AM 950, where every night we talk about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, and so much more. My name is Greg Bakken, and thank you all very much for joining me on this Friday. We are heading into the weekend. That's very exciting. It's just one of those things that I absolutely love. And I have in studio with me tonight, or in running the board and everything, is Mr. Adam. How are you tonight?
Hey, everybody. We're doing good. How are you?
Yeah, so far so good. We got a lot to get through tonight, but you know, we'll just take our time through it. We call this Casual Friday, which that basically means that we're just going to take our time to get through some stuff. We're just, you know, Adam and I will chat. Also, feel free to call in with anything on your mind. If you want to talk about the congressional hearings this week for the UFOs, which we are going to touch on a little bit later. If you just have you're going to do some paranormal investigating this weekend and you want to talk about it, whatever's on your mind, give us a call, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. You just want to come in and chat, let me know. Also, we are live on a bunch of Facebook networks, and if you have something you want us to talk about, put it into the chat. We'll be more than happy to do anything. We're not really attached to anything tonight. We are just going to talk and ease our way into the weekend, which I'm really kind of excited about now.
Well, I turn a year older this weekend, so the easier the better.
Your birthday is this weekend.
My birthday is Sunday.
Wow. So, yeah. Turning what, 23, 24?
30 sneaks up on you real quick. No, it'll be 43.
Well, happy birthday,
well,
first
thank
of
you.
All.
But now I'm no longer the answer to everything. Because when I was 42.
You were 42.
Yeah.
That Douglas Adams, I tell you. Now you have to wear real clothes and not a bathrobe. So,
That means I got to find clothes starting on Sunday.
Well, you know, good luck with that. I've been struggling with that myself for quite some time. Put into the comments, most important question of all, did you have Chicken Wing Friday after all? We did have storms, which put Chicken Wing Friday into jeopardy. I'm not going to lie. It was very frightening. But what ended up happening was we, as in me, still made the chicken wings because the storm went away. I don't know if it affected your area a ton. We got some pretty heavy rain in our area, St. Michael. But afterwards, it was really interesting because it was like a September day, like an early September day where it was like in the 70s. It was kind of breezy. It was just kind of nice. And it was just a nice atmosphere. Did you get storms then?
Yeah, we got a couple of really nice downpours in the Crystal Robbinsdale area where I am. And yeah, it felt great shortly mm-hmm. thereafter. Unfortunately, the wind damage in my area made kind of some of the roads a little treacherous because we had downed limbs and branches.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it's majority of the area was good, and it just felt glorious outside after all that, especially after the last couple of days where it's just been sweltering heat.
Oh, wow. I was going to mention, you know, after this program is driving it home with Patty Vasquez.
Oh, yeah.
And so on August 25th, I'm going to be on her show, which is kind of cool, which they actually run their show live in Chicago over like drive time, over rush hour. And then that night, she's going to be on with us.
Oh,
and
perfect.
Yeah, that's going to be really cool. And she said there's a couple things that has happened to her and whatnot, and we'll just keep it light and fun. But it was really kind of cool. After I dropped you off and backing away, and you saw that I was streaming 950.
Yeah.
listening to her. And after I dropped you off and I turned the volume up a little bit more, she was talking about our show.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. And she's like, yeah, we're going to have them on. And so that was really cool. I was really excited that, you know, that, well, number one, that she remembered. But yeah, it was really cool.
Now that's a market for you to be in. The Chicago market.
Oh, yeah. Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
We'll take Ghost Box on the road.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go to Chicago with it. We'll you and Char and all your crew can do some investigating.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have quick reviews on the air about them. I think that would be a good idea.
So we are going to do, and I don't remember what date in September, which I'm not sure, because I thought there's like one Friday in September that you aren't going to be available, if I'm not mistaken.
I thought that too, but it turns out the concert I'm taking my daughter to is a Saturday and not a Friday.
Oh, nice. Because I'm going to be doing a live show from Crypticon.
Nice.
And I can't remember, and I'm sorry, I can look it up during break, when Crypticon is. We're going to do a live show. We're going to have some of the guests from the convention be on the show. So I'm assuming then you'll just be here. I'll be at Crypticon. We'll do.
No. You'll be here.
Yeah.
I'll be at Crypticon.
Sure. Whatever. Whatever works.
Well, it can work.
Whatever works.
It could work. I can make it work.
Whatever works. Really. I'm fine. I'm pretty easygoing on that stuff. So yeah.
No, you're going to have fun. You're going to grab me a couple of autographs when you're there. I got some DVDs.
Oh, is that how that works? Well,
that's how it works.
I'm sure we can make something happen. There's a lot of people there. I think Mr. Schrader is going to be there too.
He's also going to be at Twin Cities Con in November.
Oh, is he newly added, or he's always been part of that?
He was newly added. So Twin Cities Con, when that comes up, of course, my paranormal hero Dave Schrader is going to be there.
Yeah.
But also the only writer and director I pay for, Kevin Smith, is going to be there.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So you won't see me that weekend. That might, but then again, that's also my wedding anniversary weekend, so I don't know if my wife's going to see me that weekend either.
Well, that's between you and her. So yeah, that's I've been reaching out to them to see if they would want to partner with us in any way. So we're waiting to hear back on Twin Cities Con.
And in that case, maybe we could also get Jay Muse. He has a little bit of the paranormal within him, because he co-hosted a couple of specials with like Jack Osborne on Discovery Plus.
Oh,
one
yeah.
being about Bigfoot, the other about UFOs.
Speaking of Bigfoot, this coming Thursday, we're going to have Robert Robinson on, Bigfoot guy. Always, he's a great researcher. He's written a number of books. His books are published through Dave Childers.
Okay.
Childress publications. And then the following week, or 2 weeks down the road, I'm looking at my schedule, a gentleman by the name of M.K. Davis is going to be on. And
really?
He got a hold, and this is what I got to get the information from. I'm assuming he got a hold of the actual original film of the Patterson film, and he's been up-resing it and restoring it and finding a lot of detail in it. And we're going to be talking about that.
Oh, that is going to be beautiful.
Isn't that that's a great thing.
That's, I'm so over the moon. Okay, that one's really cool. I'm ready for that one.
Well, it's on a Tuesday, unfortunately.
I'm going to, really?
Yeah, sorry.
We can't make it a Thursday?
Well, apparently not. But
actually,
you could make it a Tuesday, though.
I'll see what my full-time job can do about that, but actually, it makes sense for it not to be a Thursday night, because the last two Thursdays, man, I'm telling you.
Did you sleep with the lights on last night?
I did.
Yeah.
And the wife was annoyed by it, but I'm like, did you listen to the show? And she was watching Witcher.
Yeah.
Well, she was listening to Henry Cavill grunt in Witcher. But I'm like, so I replayed part of it for her, and she's like, wow, there would be something to do in Kansas.
Well,
and I'm like, yes, there
true.
Actually would be something to do in Kansas.
It's very true.
By far the only way I would go to Kansas is to actually go there.
Yeah, no, Atchison is beautiful.
It is.
It is truly a beautiful town. It's everyone's super friendly. Everyone's super friendly. When we got into town, John was driving his truck, and I was in the truck with him. And I remember we got into town before we went up to McIntyre, and we stopped at a stop sign, and a police officer drove by, and he waved at us.
Oh, nice.
You know, it's just those little subtle things that you don't see here anymore. Not that I'm upset that police officers don't wave at me, but it's just something a little bit added that it's like a very small town sort of feel to it.
And speaking of John last night, yeah. I've only met him doing this show.
Yeah.
He seems like the sweetest guy and the neatest guy to kind of would get to know and actually paranormal investigate with. He seems like the kind of guy that I would hide behind, though, when the big bangs would happen. But he, you know, and that's the first time I had any interaction with him.
Yeah.
And he just seemed like the nicest guy. And it's like, okay, I would go spend the evening in a haunted house with you.
Yeah, John is very much one of my closest friends, and a confidant. And, you know, we've been through a lot together in separate ways, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, you know, that trip that we took was I think, very transformative for him because it's just a lot of stuff was happening. But you're right. Investigating with him has always been a lot of fun. I'll often go out to his house, and I'm not going to say where he lives. And here's his address. But
I'll be over later.
Yeah, right. Because I'm almost like over in. It's like, wait, you don't need to say where he is. oh, by the way, John, everyone knows where you live now. So get the beers out. But go over there because it's further away, way further out than where I live. I'll spend the evening with him and his wife Chris. We'll make food. We'll have drinks aplenty, which means I get to stay over, and they have a room that they call the Greg Bakken room.
Nice.
Because I'm a lush, and I need to. You know, I'm not going to drive home.
Yeah. You're a responsible lush.
I'm a responsible lush, and so yeah, I just was very much. You know, want to be very careful about that. But it's always been a lot of fun going over. And we'll just sit and we'll talk for hours upon hours upon hours. And it's a very much a highlight when I get a message from him. It's a highlight. You know, it's one of those, you know, it's a bromance, let's be honest.
Right on. And going back to the actual location, McIntyre Villa, how many times have you been there?
Oh, at least six.
And it's been activity all six times, at least.
All six times. And I'll tell you, the first time that I was there, I was doing an event with my friend Christy, and it was her event. And her and Lyndia and Steph were doing an event there. And you might have remembered that Steph yesterday talked about shadow people that just show up, and because it gets dark, you actually think that they are people that have...
Yeah, in front of the curtains, yeah.
Right. Well, that happened to us up in the attic where we're there, and it's like there's three groups in this place, and we were with a group of people up in the attic, and someone came from upstairs and just kind of stood off in the side. You just notice them,
mm-hmm.
And... you're just watching it and you're doing your own thing. They're still there. You can feel their presence. And then this person walks in front of the window and disappears.
Oh, wow.
It was a shadow person. And that was just like, that happened. It wasn't just like me. I mean, it was one of those things where like three of us at once were like, did you see that? You know, it was just, yeah. That's pretty serious stuff. And, that is what the McIntyre Villa does. It's truly every time it's active, and every time it's different activity. It's not like the same thing.
I was going to ask, I mean, is this repeatable evidence? Is it the same voices, the same messages?
The same spirits? I don't think so. I feel like it's different every single time I've been there, and it's never, you don't even have to be looking for it. I remember, and when you're doing investigations, you're doing events, you kind of know where everybody is at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was down in this area that's like the dining room, just as kind of that's what they always kind of use as like the control center,
right,
of the event. And I went to around to the one of the bathrooms on the main floor. I know it, no one was upstairs. And I'm in the bathroom and I could hear someone walking around upstairs. And so when I get out, I'm just like, has anyone been upstairs in the last like 3 minutes? And everyone's like, no, everyone's accounted for. Who is that? I don't know what that is.
So that's when, you know, we do the ultimate Steph, check the camera.
Right. Well, and there was not, you know, and I don't know if she did check it, because it's just like, I think footsteps are one of those things that are always just like happening
so
at that place.
I wonder then if that, because it was mentioned last night, that place being a portal. And it, to me, what you've just said, you've been there six times, if not more, evidence every time.
Yep.
It's not repeatable. It doesn't seem, I'm leaning more towards that portal theory for that building that was thrown out last night on the show.
Yeah, like that day, different spirits come and go, and they do what they want to do. And it's truly, it's an amazing place. And, you know, that's why I was so glad that she came on, because I don't think it gets the respect that it deserves. So
yeah, I know we were talking about it on the ride home last night. And next time we do have Steph on, there are a couple of other questions I want to ask, plus the business venture we were talking about.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. So let's do this. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, we're going to go into some of the question of the week. We're going to talk about some UFO stuff. We have a lot to go through. Plus, don't forget your calls and call in, leave a comment, do whatever you want. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950.
Reach your highest level of consciousness and well-being with MetamorphosisConnections.com. MetamorphosisConnections.com is an online directory of the best holistic and metaphysical practitioners to help you make your most informed choices. You can search MetamorphosisConnections.com for classes, events, wellness and life coaches, plus metaphysical products and shops. You can also search for a wide array of healers from all modalities, including EFT, sound healing, energy healing, light therapy, ancestral healing, shamanic healing, reflexology, past life regressions, hypnotherapy, yoga, and more. And if you're not sure where to start, the search feature on MetamorphosisConnections.com is tailored to help both those who know what they are looking for and those who are just starting. Come explore the possibilities for your higher self by visiting MetamorphosisConnections.com. Their experienced practitioners can guide both beginners and those that are already on their spiritual journey. That's MetamorphosisConnection.com, your link to direct you on your spiritual transformation.
And I told you, I think I mentioned it yesterday too, that this coming Wednesday, August 2nd, we're back with Ghost Stories and Beyond at Billy's Bar and Grill in Anoka, Minnesota. That's going to be at 6:30 p.m. This coming Wednesday, which be August 2nd, which is pretty amazing to me that we're already in August, but whatever, that's beyond any of our control. You know, every month, Char Savoy and I, we talk about different aspects of ghost stories. Sometimes we have different guests that come in and talk. We also like to hear what you have to say. If you have any experiences and stuff, come on in. And the best part of it all is that it's half price burger night at Billy's, which is great food, great time. And it's $10 to get into the event. Doesn't cover the food cost, but like I said, half price burgers. I mean, you're set. So we hope to see you next Wednesday at Billy's Bar and Grill in Anoka for Ghost Stories and Beyond. We are talking about whatever we want to today. We're going to get to question of the week here in a second. But if there's something you want to talk about, give us a call, 952-946-6205. That's 952-946-6205. Whatever you want to talk about, paranormal related, preferably. But, you know, we want to hear your voice. If there's something you want to talk about that you're watching us online, put it into the comments. Let us know. We'd be happy to kind of oblige and talk about whatever. But this week, I did ask the question, which was, how old were you when you had your first paranormal experience? And Adam, you had said, what did you say? You were three, right?
Yeah, I was about 3 or 4 years old when I noticed that I was having paranormal experiences. So what's the best way to put this? The first number of years of my life, my next door neighbor was St. Vincent's Catholic Church, and my backyard was the St. Vincent Catholic Church graveyard. And about 3, maybe 4 years old, I would notice from time to time, because my window would look out towards the church parking lot. That there would be randomly people, no cars, mind you, but people just kind of walking up towards the church.
Sure.
Didn't think much of it. You know, I'm 3, 4 years old. And then I saw an individual who recently from the parish had just died. And I saw them walking up towards the church. And that's what I began kind of questioning those things. Then a little bit later on, my grandfather, who is the custodian of the church, if you will, that might be the handyman or whatever you want to call it for the church, he started taking me over there when he would do his rounds and things like that. And he took me into the church basement once.
Mm-hmm.
Scariest place I'd ever been, because to this day, 39, 40 years later, I swear to you, I saw what I thought was a statue move, but it wasn't a statue. Statues don't move.
No, they don't.
And for the longest time, you know, being a kid, it's like, well, you know, they have animatronic statues for some reason in the basement of the church. A few years later, it's like, wait, statues don't move. I saw something in there that wasn't myself or my grandfather.
Statues don't move unless they are weeping angels, and that's only when you blink. So you got that.
Thanks,
as
Doc.
Well. Yep, that's about it. I had my first experience was probably when I was about 4, and it was after my grandmother had died, and I was in the living room with my mom, and out of nowhere, this very strong smell of like funeral home, like roses, came in and then just left. And I said to my mom, I said, "What was that?" And she said, "That was Grandma." And for years after, like, I never really gave it much thought. And then when I got into this whole paranormal thing, I started thinking about it a little bit more. And I finally asked my mom, I said, "Did I dream this?" And I explained it to her. And she goes, "Oh, no, that happened." She's like, "I remember that very distinctly, that happened." But she's like, and then I would also, she would talk about her experiences that she'd go downstairs and she would see Grandma laying on the couch where sometimes she would sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be like almost like a residual sort of thing going on there. And I think my sister might have had some, I don't quite remember. She might have had something too. So I really do wonder if Grandma was visiting us on a, you know, right afterwards or whatever. I know that because that was my mom's mom and she passed away when she was in her, I think, early 60s.
Mm-hmm.
That was, you know, and it was mom's best friend. That was very, very difficult for her. So that was really, really something. And so I just had wondered if I had dreamt that, and I did not, apparently.
That brings up a good point, that phantom smells.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying that I'm not sold on them, but at the same time, I'm pretty sure that I've experienced it.
Oh, I'm sure.
But I'm never 100% sure if I caught a whiff of just, you know, something anyway.
It's, I mean, yes. The thing is, like, especially that one I was talking about with Grandma.
Yeah.
In and out.
Yeah.
You know, that was pretty strong. The night that my dad died, I went downtown Minneapolis to where I work to get my computer because I knew I wasn't going to be around for a while. And I get out of the car and there was a scent that I immediately associated with him and that was stayed with me up until his funeral. And then after the funeral, it like dropped right off.
Really?
And then about 5 years later, I was talking to somebody who I was dating at the time, a psychic medium, and I explained to her that we were actually in Pipestone, Minnesota at a diner, and I explained this scent to her, and I was trying to explain it, and all of a sudden it came. That scent showed up.
Oh, nifty.
And I'm just like, "Oh my God, can you smell it?" And she's like, "I can." And then once again, just gone.
And the reason I said I was somewhat skeptical, but so my grandfather, he would wear Old Spice and then, I don't remember the exact name of it, but I remember it was like this blue bottle cologne.
Aquavelva, probably.
Quite possibly.
Yeah.
And he would smell of a mix of those and Camel cigarettes.
Sure. Basically, and what you're saying, you can't mistake that smell,
right? Yeah. And I have smelt that several times throughout my life after my grandfather passed away in the early 2000s. But you know, I've always kind of been like, it's got to be something else. But then I quit smoking in 2020, and then I've smelt that combination since then.
Yep.
And it's like, I know my neighbor smokes, but he rolls his own cigarettes.
Sure.
And Camel cigarettes always had to me a distinct smell.
Yep. Yep.
Which is why I smoked them. And, you know, so that's why the phantom smell, personally, my jury's still out, but I've been leaning more and more to it over the last several years since my grandfather died and I quit smoking and I still smell him.
Yeah. No, and like I was at Strawberry Point many years ago, or actually it was 2015, I think it was, and it was the year that my dad had passed. He had passed in June, and he came through one of the devices. It was the first time that I actually got anything from him since he passed. And then kind of, in a sense, all hell broke loose in the room we're in, and we're in a private house.
Oh.
It was really surreal and actually more frightening than comforting. But then the smell of Stetson came through, Stetson cologne,
yeah.
Which when my dad would wear cologne, it was Stetson. No one had Stetson in the house. No one was wearing it. Where did that smell come from?
Yeah, no kidding.
And like the person, one of the people who owned the house, she's like, she starts freaking out. She's like, I can hear music. Can't you hear the music? And we're like, whoa. You know, I mean, it got very intense.
And this was a private residence?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was a private residence, Strawberry Point, Iowa. And like the McIntyre Villa, I've been to this house four times now. It's never disappointed. Never disappointed, ever.
I think one of these Freestyle Fridays, though, we need to do Greg's top 10.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's a lot of great places. Lots of great places.
And I'm sure that some of these places, obviously the one there is a private residence.
Yeah.
But, you know, like your top 10 places that folks would be able to get into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think we should do that for an episode as a Freestyle Friday.
Freestyle.
And freestyling. And I think it would be great for the listeners to get involved with some of the public places they've been to that offer tours and things, to put that in the Facebook comments and maybe run a poll.
Yeah.
But do we have to be verified to run polls nowadays?
I don't know. You're taking this show to a polling level that I never even thought about. So.
And a lot of that has to do with the Ghost Box Facebook feed today with the question of your first paranormal experience.
Yes.
Everybody in there, it seemed to be, other than a few of them, before they hit the age of like 10.
Yes, absolutely.
And I'm wondering if we as people are more open to the other side, because, you know, when you're a kid, you're living like kind of in the present. Your imagination mm-hmm. is constantly taking over. But as you get older, and especially like from high school forward, where you're thinking about, you know, boys, girls, whoever, homework, tonight's ball game, the cheer squad, whatever it might be, and then it's college and work or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, the path might be, you're no longer living in the moment anymore like you are. And I think that's why a lot of people don't have the paranormal experiences as they get older, because they're just not in tune to it. But that's just kind of my theory.
So that's a good segue, because I do want to read some of these responses that we got today, because they are very interesting and they are pretty diverse. I mean, some were telling us, like Shar said that she was 4 years old when she had hers, Amber, 6. People like Daniel, who has been on the program just about a week ago, says that I'm not sure my age at the time, maybe 4. Some of my earliest memories are some strange stuff going down. You got people who are saying, like you said, 6, 4, 2. I mean, 2. I mean, how do you remember? But you got Brian, who said 12 years old paranormal, 17 year old demonic, but he's a demonologist.
Oh, wow.
Debbie, which, I mean, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Debbie, who co-runs the Octagon Mansion in Whitville, Virginia, says she was 8, however, didn't realize about until 3 years after she married her ghost hunting husband that what experienced at 8 years old was in fact a ghost. She grew up living beside of a graveyard. Sound familiar?
Very.
About 1-ish a.m., I saw a woman wearing a long white flowing dress behind her gown as she was softly running down through the graveyard. Boy, that's a haunting image. My one and only thought was that she must be crazy or out in the graveyard in the dark all by herself. I can still see that moment as if it was yesterday, but it was almost 50 years ago. I mean, that's a pretty...
That's insanely vivid, and I don't know. I would have to find an artist, honestly, in my world, and to have them draw that out, and I would have that hanging on the wall.
It sounds beautiful, doesn't it?
It really does. Eerily beautiful.
Moonlight. Lucy says, some of my earliest memories are around age 8 to 10. Always felt and heard stuff around the grade school in my neighborhood. Just walking streets of Deadwood was an experience. Lucy has quite the story of, which I won't share because it's not my story to tell, but she has seen a lot of things. Jim says that I may have seen things, and he's one of the runners of Crypticon. I may have seen things as a kid, but didn't realize they were paranormal. But got to tell you, I may have been in my 40s when I saw regular activity in my current house. My roommates have experienced the same thing as I have when they lived there. Neighbors have told me they hear and see things in the same complex as well. So,
does he live in Cinnamon Ridge and Egan?
I was going to say, you know, your story. It sounds very familiar. Robin says, this is a topic I really want to get on at some point. I saw angels in my 40s. They saved me from certain disaster.
Okay, yeah, that is a topic we need to talk about. My Aunt Beth, who unfortunately passed in 2020.
Yeah.
Excuse me. She had a car accident one night, and she swears up and down an angel pulled her from that car.
It's pretty incredible. Robin says, saw my first full body apparition, age 19, saw it twice. Candy says, and this is funny, Candy says, wow, I was old. She was 44. You can do it any time, right? You can start any time. Mm-hmm. Up until then, I was a non-believer, so if I had an experience, I didn't know it. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I think that's very fair. Denise Pack, she says, it's always been a part of me, and we're going to get her and Ernie on again at some point and talk more about just the carnival known as their lives. It's pretty incredible, actually, the stuff that they've experienced. Austin has said, it was before I could remember, I would tell my mom about the yellow man in my room. I have to take her word on it, though. Basically, I think he doesn't remember that he did that, but his mom would bring it up to him, which is frightening.
It definitely is, because, you know, did he block those memories for a reason of the yellow man?
I don't know. Stacy says, in my early 20s, I was sitting in my car after work checking my phone. The car was running, but in park. I had a black cross necklace hanging on my mirror. Oh, boy. You always know when they bring a cross into the story that doesn't really go well.
That brings me to something that I can tell you something about a cross, too.
Out of nowhere, it flew off the rear view mirror. I'm not laughing at your story, Stacy, because it's just like, yep, here we go. Rear view mirror. It flew off the rear view mirror and smacked down on top of my dash. Mirror was still intact and necklace was still hooked. Nothing broken or displaced. That opened my eyes to all the paranormal things that are going on that I was too naive to see, which we are raised to believe doesn't exist. And I think that's a very good point. I'm a huge believer now and am a paranormal investigator. When we talk to people who have have children that are clearly open to this, we always ask them, please don't try to shut them down, because this will go away at some point. You know, that's just how that works. And you know, we have a lot of that sort of thing. 952-946-6205. That's 952-946-6205. If you want to call in, take part in the conversation, or tell us where to go with the conversation. Why don't we take another break? When we come back, we're going to read some more of these. I think these are very interesting. And then we're going to still talk about a little bit, at least, about that congressional hearing about UFOs and UAP. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950.
If you own a holistic or metaphysical business and are looking to expand, then you need to be listed on metamorphosisconnections.com. It's a network where you can grow with like-minded practitioners and reach new clients. MetamorphosisConnections.com is an online directory you need to list yourself and your business. Our platform makes it easy for you to create listings of your products and services, and you can also choose to list your classes, events, and so much more. MetamorphosisConnections.com helps you create weekly and monthly promotional ads targeted towards your potential clients and promotes them for you via social media and newsletter. There are clients searching for your specialty right now. Let us help them find you. Start your listing today so you can share your own unique gifts and talents by finding the level of membership that best fits your needs. Let us help you reach your clients that are searching for what you do. Visit MetamorphosisConnections.com and sign up today.
And please join us Monday on Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken. We're going to be talking to Donald R. Schmidt, who has co-authored the book Witness to Roswell. It's going to be the 75th anniversary edition of that book. Him and his partner has been researching Roswell, I think, since the 80s. They've had an interest in it since the 70s. This is going to be a fantastic conversation. I'm really looking forward to it. And then also, we're going to be giving away tickets all next week for the new Universal Pictures, The Last Voyage of the Demeter. And this looks like a pretty cool film. And we have a lot of passes for a preview screening. This is for local folks only, unfortunately. But we got different ways that we're going to be giving those away. So tune in next week to get your chance to get those as well. We are talking about a lot of different things. Phone number to call in, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We're going to be going just a couple more of these question of the weeks. I want to talk about here real fast, and we're going to move on to the UFO congressional hearings that just happened Wednesday. Rye had said, "I was 12 years old. My grandpa, who had just passed away, gave us all a sign that he was okay on the other side. Truthfully, this is what sparked my interest in the paranormal." I'll tell you, I mean, if that was something that was agreed upon, like kind of, you know, like Houdini had said that he was going to show a sign that he made it, he never did, at least officially to our knowledge, that's pretty cool.
With the Houdini thing, I almost think that his wife, who was the only one who knew what that message was, kept it to herself.
I think that's exactly what happened. I've seen a lot of people who have thought the very same thing about that, too. Then Lindsay had wrote in, "It started as young as I can remember, maybe 4 years old. The biggest mystery to this day is I'd always see a figure that appeared to look like a monk. It was always during the day. It had the large robe and gold rope belt with two tassels hanging down, and he was always holding a large book or something that looked like a large candle prong or something. I never felt threatened, but I was frustrated that I was the only one who saw him. I saw him up until my early teenage years. Other than that, the reoccurring encounter, I've always been very intuitive and sensitive, and I've had many, many experiences." So thank you all very much for sending through those responses. Bridget just sent one over. I'm going to read that real fast as well, since she took the time to put all that down for me. "I had a similar experience to the car accident." So she's talking about the angels.
Yeah.
It was just after Halloween, 1989. My brother's small GMC stick shift pickup was T-boned, goodness, and was in turn flipped and landed on the passenger side. Needless to say, my almost six-year-old body should have been damaged more than it was. The person who cut my seat belt off and pulled me out of the car glowed like nothing I've seen before or since. Glowed. 20 years later, my oldest daughter tells me she was one of the paramedics that brought me to the hospital. Let me read that again.
Okay, yeah, please.
20 years later, my oldest daughter tells me she was one of the paramedics that brought me to the hospital.
That's got to be from a past life if her oldest daughter knows that it's like, oh, yeah, you went to the hospital in 89.
I don't, you know, yeah, I don't know what it is. Bridget, if you have any more insight what you mean by that or what your daughter meant by that, that's very interesting.
Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine her daughter who, you know, probably little at that point, could, like, explain everything that happened without being there?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. That would be so cool.
Yeah, yeah, very, very interesting. And, you know, the people who don't believe in that stuff like that can happen, I think you're missing out in life if you don't want to believe in those small things. To each their own, no judgment. In my opinion, though, if you don't believe in miracles and stuff, I just feel like that's just a way, that's just a way of kind of missing out on some of the greatest moments of life, in my opinion.
You're not wrong on that.
Bridget does respond. She said it was, she talked many times about being here before. So that's just a whole other thing.
Yeah, and that's a topic I think we should get into on a future show.
Oh, absolutely. Luckily, there's a lot of time for a lot of topics. Now, Moon Girl, who we've had on and a good friend, she says, glad the truth about aliens is finally out. I've had some crazy experiences, but I feel like this was very executed by the government. I feel like we are all being set up. This is going to be a cover-up. Now, for those of you who didn't watch or listen to my program on Wednesday, we had Erica Lukes on, and she pretty much, I mean, the thing is, I'm all excited about this hearing that I didn't even know was really going to happen. And I'm like, okay, very interested. You texted me, Adam. You said that, you know, there's parts in it that you found very interesting. Mm-hmm. And I get Erica on. I'm like, Erica, what do you think? And she's just like, it's very disappointing. And that was disappointing for me to hear. But then why she thought that was disappointing did make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, and she was absolutely right. I got a chance to check out the podcast as well because I didn't work that night. Got a chance to listen to it. But she's right on several aspects of it that we won't get too big into detail about because it was just on Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that Grosch or whatever his name
was.
Yeah,
Grosch, yeah.
He told more to the press than what he was saying under oath to Congress. To me, that screamed book deal.
And we actually talked about that, and Erica called that a red flag. And mm-hmm. and the reason why I think she called it a red flag, at least what I said on the program, was it's clear that being under oath means something, and you're worried about being found out that you're not telling the complete truth. So being under oath, you're not going to say because you could get into a lot of trouble.
Right.
But he's talking a lot more outside of the hearing. But then once you get into hearing, he's kind of putting his P's and Q's a little bit more together because he knows that he's going to be held accountable for every syllable that he says.
Exactly. And as she also mentioned as well on the show, so much of it's secondhand information.
Totally.
And he wasn't naming names with said secondhand information. So no one was there to collaborate the stories. Sounds like other people that have gone in front of Congress or on certain podcasts that, you know, can't substantiate what they are claiming. And it ends up getting swept under the rug, if you will, or people just forget about it. Unfortunately, with this, I don't think this is going to be forgotten about because just like the red flag she was talking about, I see a reality show. I see a spinoff of Skinwalker Ranch coming or something of that magnitude where he's going to be involved as probably some sort of exec producer.
So I think we're talking about two different things, though, in a sense, because I don't disagree with you about that at all. And we talked before the show, too, the other pilot who saw the Tic Tac video from 2004. We see him on a lot of things now since 2017 when that footage was finally released.
Right.
But, you know, because I asked Erica, what do you think that we're going to have more hearings? Because that's what they want. And she says she doesn't believe that they will. So, yes, I think that if we go off of what she's saying, you're right that they're gonna milk this. I mean, that's why you have like George Knapp and Jeremy Corbell there,
exactly.
Which is still to me a little odd, just kind of just weighing in the background.
Name recognition, though.
Well, but does it need to have name recognition for a congressional hearing?
I think when they end up publishing the record of the congressional hearing, like they do with all of them, people who are going to be Googling it are going to start reading it and hear about the other players or read about the other players in this, which is where you're going to start seeing book deals come out. You know, you're going to see on Amazon here at some point the untold truth.
But I think what's worrying to me about it, and I guess this is the part I'm trying to parlay, is that those two are like a little bit of a fortress.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, as we talked before, that they don't let anyone in. You know, they're only really dealing with people in the military and stuff. So it just seems like that, you know, it just seems like it's very controlled. And that bothers me, actually. because it's just like it shouldn't. I don't think it should be that way, and I don't know if they're the right they're the right people to do that.
And unfortunately, they're going to be the only people doing it. And
it's already set up that way.
Yeah, but as for future congressional hearings, if we have any more, what's the best way to put this? They need to bring in people who are not associated with the government, who have their own footage or have their own proof, to sit in front of Congress and be like, here's what we've got. You know, the government doesn't have this. Doctors haven't had this. This crashed in my backyard or wherever it may have been. Please, we need to take a look at this because something real is going on. This universe is too big for us to not have some sort of visitation, whether it be UFO crashing here, UFOs coming and seeing us, things coming through portals.
You either got to put up or shut up, quite honestly. And like you said, I totally in agreement that if you're going to do that, now you have to bring forth some people. I mean, he's hiding behind classification. And like Erica said on Wednesday, and I understand that, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, you know, whistleblowers are protected in a certain way. So I think that there could have been more. I mean, if you're going to you weren't talking to the press and giving out any classified information. So why did it not match what was said outside Capitol Hill in Capitol Hill then?
Yeah. And that's another thing that kind of troubles me, too. It's like, so was half of this made up and you were just, you know, looking to get into a certain clique?
Mm-hmm.
Or was something said to you prior to you going in front of the body of Congress that now all of a sudden you have to be, no, I can tell you in a private skiff?
Absolutely. And I'm not saying I don't believe that government is covering up anything, but I am saying that I agree with Erica's assessment of let's get more detail and let's actually have something tangible. I'd like to know anyone else's thought on it. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Put it in the comments as well. We have a little bit of time left to do that. But one thing that Erica did bring up that I don't know if you had gone to yet or not, Adam, but she had talked about, you know, the Bob Lazar story being false. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to ask her how so, because I've heard a lot about that over the last 30 years, but I'd like to know exactly why she thinks it is false. We ran out of time because we had so much to talk about. But I mean, part of me is that I guess I want the Bob Lazar story to be true. I don't know if she's finding that there's inconsistencies with his employment over at Area 51, or if there is something more that that she knows that I'm just missing. But or is it just as simple as, once again, we don't have any clear evidence of what he's talking about? But I'd like to know more about that, I think.
When it comes to Bob Lazar, I really want to be Mulder from The X-Files.
Yeah.
I want to believe the truth is out there.
Yeah, me too.
When it comes to that, because what he was saying, and then 20 years later, that stuff is happening. Facial recognition, you know, using your thumbprint to open a cell phone, which smartphones didn't exist at that time. You were lucky enough to have a bag phone at that point that was, you know, bigger than some of the laptops these days.
Yeah. And, you know, stuff like the stealth bomber, to me, that's reverse engineering.
I remember when the stealth bomber was first released to the public.
Mm-hmm.
And there were stories that had come out prior to the U.S. government saying, yes, it's our new, you know, anti-radar or whatever fighter plane. But I vaguely remember like 2 or 3 years prior in Nevada, in Arizona, an uptick in sightings.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, I see Ernie on here, Ernie Pack. And like I mentioned, his wife was on. I saw her in the comments, too, that we'll have to get them on at some point again, because when we were in Kentucky, we were driving by Fort Knox, and he was talking about there was some jet fighter crash or something that in that area that was mysterious. And I'm sorry, Ernie, I know I'm kind of ruining it, but that there is something UFO related to it and whatnot. So there's a lot of interesting stories out there that needs to be talked about and needs to be publicly recognized, especially if people want to share it. You know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. So other than that, when it came to that congressional hearing, you know, I'm really interested to see if there's going to be any more that's going to come from that, because it has to be now, truly, it has to be, give us something tangible to hold on to. Bridget says Kentucky has a lot of great paranormal stories. Well, they do. And once we get the PACs on again, they live in probably the most haunted house in Kentucky, and I've stayed there, and it's pretty incredible. We talked about it in a previous program. But other than that, Adam, I just feel like that I don't know. Have you seen a lot of reaction to that hearing?
Well, if you go on, what is it now called, X? Twitter? The one that used to have the bird.
Yeah.
It was very mixed
mm-hmm.
Reactions. Facebook was very much more positive in kind of your view. Okay, now we need more information. Let's schedule another one. Instagram, that was essentially full of just alien photos, which I just stole a few of those for, you know, later memes. But at least on the social media side, it was almost, like I said, split on Twitter. But the Facebook ones, actually, those conversations seem to be a little bit better and a little bit more into what was actually going on and looking towards the future.
Absolutely. So we're already at the end of the week. We have a lot to talk about. We're going to have more to talk about next week as well. As we wrap up the week, don't forget on Monday, we're going to have Donald R. Schmidt, who is the co-author of Witness to Roswell, the 75th anniversary edition. And we'll be giving away tickets all next week for the new Universal Picture Films, The Last Voyage of the Demeter. Please make sure to visit GhostBoxRadio.com to find past episodes of our radio show. And find us over at Facebook, over at Ghostbox Radio with Greg Bakken. Finally, whether you're chasing spirits or just drinking them tonight, please be careful. We'll see you Monday. We're going to be talking about Roswell in 1947. Everyone have a great weekend.